Welcome to the second hour of the Power Hour. I am your very happy guest host, Karen Cataline, commentator, columnist, all-around rabble-rouser. Welcome to hour number two. And just as promised, oh, by the way, just want to remind you, the Power Hour Mall is closed today in observance of fabulous, wonderful Independence Day. And this is the day most people are having off to celebrate, but as we mentioned in the beginning, let's celebrate our precious freedom, liberty, and independence every single day, especially now when it is in such great, under such great threat and attack. So as promised, we have with us Stephanie Seneff, who is the author of a great new book called Toxic Legacy, How the Weed Killer Glyphosate is Destroying Our Health and the Environment. Stephanie has a PhD and is a senior research scientist at MIT's, hey, no slouch there, Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory. She has a bachelor's degree in biology with a minor in food and nutrition. She has a master's degree, an engineer's degree, and a PhD in electrical engineering. Boy, oh boy. She's a busy lady, and computer science all from MIT. She has authored over three dozen peer-reviewed journal papers on topics relating to human disease. She is the perfect person to talk about not only the herbicide glyphosate, but in our second hour, we're going to talk a whole lot about the vaccine. And she agreed with me at the break that we are both horrified with the way that the vaccine is being used and forced on other people. But welcome to the Power Hour, Stephanie Seneff. It's such a pleasure to have you on the program.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Great. So let's dive right in. Most people have heard that Roundup, and they sort of think of it as Roundup, but this chemical is in a lot of things, in weed killers. Roundup is just the most, where there are lawsuits coming out now. And so give us an idea of the history of glyphosate and the ingredient that is in Roundup, and why do farmers use it so much, and are they still using it even in light of the lawsuits that are happening right now?
Yes, I mean, Roundup was first introduced in the market back in 1974, patented by Monsanto as an herbicide in 1968, so it's had a long history. It wasn't used so much until the late 1990s when they came up with this scheme of the genetic engineering, and they were able to insert a bacterial gene into the plant genome of the crop to keep it safe from glyphosate. So it was quite a breakthrough in terms of technology. They were very excited, and they rolled this out in multiple crops that are core crops of the processed food industry, like corn and soy and sugar beets and also alfalfa, canola. Oh, yeah, canola. So there's all these, you know, you've got the oil and the sugar. You've got all the different basic components of processed foods there. Just grow huge monocrops of these GMO Roundup-ready crops. You can just spray the glyphosate all over the crop, and the crop doesn't die. So it's very, very convenient for killing the weeds. And it kills all plants except that for those that have been engineered to resist it. The studies that were done by Monsanto were sloppy back in the 1970s when they got the approval. And the EPA just kind of looked the other way. I mean, they were very loosey-goosey about deciding this chemical was safe. And there were many things they did wrong, because when they make the formulation, they put extra things in there. The surfactants and adjuvants, things that make the glyphosate much more toxic to the plant and to us, unfortunately, and also things that make that are themselves toxic, which were never studied. So the formulations are much more toxic than pure glyphosate, which is what they studied. And also when they studied the GMO crops to see if they were safe, they actually didn't spray them with glyphosate. So it's really quite shocking that it was okay to evaluate those crops in a situation where they weren't sprayed with glyphosate, which is, of course, they're being used with glyphosate spray. That's the whole point of the GMO. So it's just asinine that they didn't test the crop itself, the food, whether it's toxic, which, of course, it gets glyphosate in it, and that's the reason, that's a bigger reason why it's toxic. So the food is not safe because of the chemical that it enables, because of the design of the GMO.
So
we just keep on using it. And the EPA keeps on pretending that it's fine. And meanwhile, people are coming out with all kinds of studies lately that are showing really serious problems with this chemical.
Okay, and let's we have the luxury of time, so we're going to go into that, what it causes and what the dangers of glyphosate is. But you mentioned that just for the layman people like myself, because you obviously have way more knowledge than, and that's one of the great reasons we're having you on, is that you're saying that they engineered and manufactured food that was resistant to it, and then the glyphosate would kill everything else. Well,
right.
I remember using it on a house that I had a long time ago, and it kills everything it touches. So, you know, it stands to reason that if it kills everything it touches, how could it be safe for us? Tell us about these foods that are resistant to it. What's in the food that makes it resistant?
Right. Now, that's a very good question. And it's also the argument they use for why it's safe for us. You know, anything that kills all plants, you have to be worried that it could have an effect on animals as well, because there's a lot of commonality between animals and plants. But what they're saying, and it's true, that there's an enzyme in the shikimate pathway, a particular biological pathway, that's present in plants and not present in our cells at all. The entire pathway is missing, and it messes up a particular enzyme in that pathway called EPSP synthase. Our cells don't have the pathway, don't have the enzyme, so therefore we're completely safe. That's the argument they use. It sounds good, actually, you know. And so it makes them feel that this is a fantastic opportunity to grow food efficiently and not harm us in the process. So this is the argument they use. But there's a big flaw in the argument, because we have gut bacteria that we depend on for all kinds of products that our cells cannot make. And many of those products come out of the shikimate pathway. So we have microbes that use the same pathway that glyphosate disrupts to make precursors to all kinds of important biologically active molecules that the human depends on, as well as making essential amino acids. It's actually three called aromatic amino acids that come out of that pathway, which are tryptophan, tyrosine, and phenylalanine. And those three, they're called essential because our cells can't make them. So we're getting those as a resource from our gut microbes, but our gut microbes are being killed by the glyphosate. So we also get an imbalance in the gut microbes, and we end up with a lot of problems in the gut. And that's really where the problems start with glyphosate. You get leaky gut barrier. You get imbalance, you know, overgrowth of pathogens. You get symptoms like bloating and diarrhea and constipation. I mean, your gut is just basically not working well. And it's because your microbes are being disrupted in a big way by the glyphosate that's in your food.
Wow. And this reminds me of something, again, as a layman, that I have known for a long time, and I think it has rung true, that there's good bacteria, and that's why a lot of people take Acidophilus and other good bacterias. Is that kind of what you're talking about, that this interferes with the good bacteria in the gut?
That's true. What's happened, and studies have shown this, is that the microbes that are really, really important, especially when the infant's born, there's certain critical species of bacteria, mostly bifidobacteria and lactobacillus, are two really important species that are in the gut of the infant, and the infant depends on them to digest milk. So it's really critical for the thriving of the infant to have these microbes working properly. And they're very sensitive to glyphosate, whereas there's other ones like Salmonella and Clostridia that you've probably heard of as being pathogens.
Sure.
And they get a stronghold because they're much less sensitive to glyphosate than these other ones are. So the gut becomes imbalanced, and that's how you end up with an immune system response. You get inflammation. You get leaky gut. You get, you know, inflammatory bowel disease is a disease that's going up dramatically in step with a rise in glyphosate usage. Another one is GERD. You know, we have acid reflux, and people are taking all kinds of drugs for acid reflux, like Nexium, and that's being caused by glyphosate. And then it messes up the gut pH. It messes up the balance of the short-chain fatty acids. There's a lot of things that get messed up. And, of course, there's deficiencies in these critical nutrients, which are precursors to various very, very important molecules, such as the hormones melatonin, serotonin, dopamine, epinephrine, thyroid hormone, various B vitamins, all those things come out of that shikimate pathway. So
wow.
We get, you know, deficiencies and all kinds of things, and then we get mood disorders. You know, serotonin is linked to, low serotonin is linked to both violent behavior and depression, and also obesity. So you can get a lot of problems coming out of those disruption of these hormones.
Yes, and before we get to things we can do personally, I always like to talk about that, to if there's a way to reverse it or to treat this kind of exposure to glyphosate. You also talk in your book a lot about cancer and how this is a cancer-causing agent. Tell us about that, because there are, I don't know anybody who hasn't been touched in their family or individual by cancer.
I know, yes. And there are certain cancers that have been shown to be going up dramatically in prevalence in our society, exactly in step with the rise in glyphosate usage. This is thyroid cancer and pancreatic cancer in particular. Those two are very tightly, their rise, you know, in prevalence. You keep hearing about people with pancreatic cancer lately, whereas I never heard of it when I was a child. It was a very rare cancer. And, you know, the pancreas, I think, is getting hit really hard. Also, the liver
deadly,
and the kidneys.
A deadly one it always was. It was more deadly than most.
I know. Oh, gosh. When you die, it's a death sentence. I mean, people rarely live beyond a year, I think. It's really, really virulent, very dangerous. And, of course, breast cancer.
Although,
is another
I mean,
one that I
think people are living longer because, you know, there are places, Israel in particular, that's doing amazing work with cancer, but. You know, I don't know if they're doing any work on the cause of some of these cancers, and that's what you're speaking to. So go ahead.
Right. And we have many, many toxic chemicals that have been introduced in my lifetime. It's just incredible how overwhelmed we are with all these toxic chemicals that have not been properly studied. The EPA is completely overwhelmed. You know, they don't – and they're just to even to study these chemicals in combination, because we're getting all these things – you know, bombarded with all these different chemicals at the same time, and many of them work synergistically. So when you have it by itself, it's not as bad as when you have it in the context of another one that's disrupting some things that you would use to detox it. So it gets really complicated quickly. You know, it's hard to do the proper studies that would actually evaluate what's happening. You can look at a lot of trends, and you can see in our society so many diseases are going up. And cancer is one. We've worked so hard, you know. War on cancer, we were really determined. And we just, it's a losing battle because we keep on introducing more chemicals that cause cancer. And, you know, we're not getting a handle on how to fix it. The real way to fix it is to go back to organic, to stop using all these chemicals that are made in the chemistry lab that are not natural molecules. I'm really quite convinced that it's almost guaranteed that if it's not natural, it's probably toxic. You know, the biology understands how to use the molecules that the biology makes, and that's a world that we should stick with. You know, I don't think we should be even using drugs that are not that don't show up in nature as a natural molecule. I believe,
Stephanie,
you know, that's very dangerous.
Let me ask you that it's kind of a devil's advocate question, but because as a political commentator, I talk a lot about the fear-mongering that the left has done in order to bully and strong-arm people into wearing masks and getting vaccinated, just as what we're going to talk about in the next half hour. One could become so terrified of everything that they don't leave the house, which it seems like the left wants us to do. And yet, we have them not blowing the alarm for things that are dangerous, but telling us that other things, like open borders and what have you, aren't dangerous. How does the average person keep their own counsel to know the difference when you come along and say glyphosate is so deadly, dangerous, and causes all these things? What is the average person to do to distinguish or discern what's dangerous, what's not?
Yeah, I mean, I am very frustrated by this messaging that's going on right now to get people absolutely terrified and line up and get the vaccine. It's like, oh, my God, thank God there's a vaccine. I mean, it's worked beautifully, but they certainly understand human psychology. You know, fear is such a powerful factor, and they have just really put the fear of God in us that this virus is such a monster, and you better not leave your house, and you better get that vaccine.
99.86% non-lethal, and yet people are treating it like it's the bubonic plague. And God forbid, you should say you're not afraid of it. You're a radical. You're a radical. So we know that, but then, you know, when someone like you who's done research and is blowing an alarm about glyphosate, there are skeptics out there, and I'm a skeptic for a long time. That's why I look at the COVID situation and I start asking questions. So what do you tell people like that? Again, discernment is so important today.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the thing is, glyphosate is, I think, much more dangerous than the virus. Glyphosate is making the virus dangerous. You know, the virus would not be dangerous if there weren't glyphosate and all the other chemicals that we're exposed to. This is what I believe. So the answer, you know, you can have all the fear you want of that virus, but the way to fix that fear is to keep do a healthy lifestyle. Eat organic food. Get out in the sunlight. Get your vitamin D up. Make sure you're eating foods that are nutrient dense, you know, like oysters, things that have lots of organic eggs, things that have lots and lots of micronutrients. You know, make sure your minerals are up and your vitamins are up. Your vitamin D is up. That's so important. We've seen that vitamin D deficiency is a big risk factor for a bad outcome. And we see all these people and all these people, you know, it's such a greater risk. We know this for people who are obese, people who have diabetes, you know, people who have heart disease, high blood pressure. Those are all things that are going up exactly in step with the rise in glyphosate use. So you would think, to me, it's a no-brainer. If I go to an organic food, reduce my glyphosate burden, I will be protected from COVID-19. This is what I believe. I'm not afraid of that virus because I lead a healthy lifestyle.
Well, you know, it's so out of proportion to reality, what has been presented to us. I mean, I could go on that. It's just so out of proportion. People know, they've heard that it's 99.86% non-lethal, except in people that have lots of other illnesses, which is true of just about any germ, bacteria, or virus. And yet people are hysterically terrified. It's proof that the media can create hysteria easily enough. Tell us how the virus gets worse with glyphosate, or that it makes us more susceptible to it, you say.
Right. I mean, it's become very clear to me, and I picked up on that right away, really last April. I think I wrote an article in May on a blog site about that idea, and in fact, I think it's also connected to biofuels, so it's quite an interesting story. And I see it as glyphosate exposure in the lungs, messing up the lungs' immune system, such that the innate immune system can't clear the virus efficiently. So when you breathe the virus in, it starts multiplying, and normally your immune system would just gobble it up and it would be gone if you had a healthy immune system. But people don't, and one of the reasons they don't is because they're breathing glyphosate in the air, and particularly people who live in cities that are big on biofuels. So New York City is a good representative of that. Also, Wuhan, the place where it first started in China, and the Lombardy region of Italy, those were sort of three big hot spots at the beginning. They got us all terrified, where people were, you know, filling up the hospitals and the ICUs. And I think it's because their lungs had been exposed to glyphosate, and the glyphosate was interfering with their immune response to the virus. And as a consequence, they had to bring on the adaptive immune system in a big way. And the adaptive immune system starts releasing all these cytokines and basically toxic chemicals that are to kill the virus, like shooting a gun. It's like you're just shooting. It's friendly fire, you know. So as you're killing off the virus, you're also killing off the tissues, and the lungs become damaged by the response to the virus because the virus can't be cleared the normal way.
Well, we were talking about cancer. That's what the treatment always has been of cancer, right? Is chemotherapy that kills everything. including
Chemotherapy actually messes up the immune system. So these people who are taking chemotherapy become immune deficient. They're very vulnerable to COVID as a consequence of that.
Of course.
But glyphosate messes up the immune system in very interesting ways, and I write about it in a chapter in my book. And it specifically, you know, if you think of a fly flying around in the room versus one that's stuck on tar paper, which one is easier to kill? You know, this is the problem, that the tar paper is not working. The body has specialized proteins that are in the surfactants of the lung that are able to trap viruses, but they get broken by glyphosate. So the virus can't be trapped, and therefore it can infect cells and proliferate and become out of control. I think that's what's happening. Very simple story. And it's interesting with the glyphosate in the air, because I was predicting that glyphosate would be present in the nanoparticles in the air. And it had never been measured, so I was just kind of making that up. But it turns out a paper has shown up this year from Brazil, where they measured, they looked at nanoparticles in the air, and they detected glyphosate in those nanoparticles. And they looked both in the agricultural areas where they were using glyphosate on the crops, and they looked in the city. And they found, to their surprise, that the levels were actually higher in the city than they were in the agricultural areas, which is really surprising. Mm-hmm. But when you realize that Brazil is a leader in biofuels, particularly using sugarcane to make bioethanol, and they have trucks that can run on almost pure bioethanol. So that bioethanol, I think, is contaminated with glyphosate, which is evaporating into the air before it reaches combustion. And it's confirmed by their studies that showed that glyphosate was present in those nanoparticles.
Mm. Wow, you have so much knowledge. You know, before we take our break, let's get to what we hope is the good news. What can we do to mitigate our exposure to glyphosate and help protect ourselves? I know you spoke to this a little bit with getting the vitamin D up and all those things. Is there anything else that we can do to try and lower our exposure to it? You said it's everywhere. That can be scary,
yes,
right?
It's impossible to avoid, I think, if you live in this country, unfortunately, but you can definitely reduce your exposure. And certainly a really important thing is to eat a certified organic diet. When we shop at the grocery store, my husband and I always buy certified organic, and luckily we have that label. And if they're not cheating, it means they can't use glyphosate on their crops.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it looks like we do have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, with Stephanie, about the vaccine, which everyone is concerned about. You can tell she's more than qualified to talk about it, and she's concerned. And so if you're concerned, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. Karen Ketteline, you're listening to the Power Hour radio show, and we will be back right after this.
Offer you 25% off of select products. Hurry, the sale will only be available while supplies last. No code necessary to shop at thepowermall.com. Or you can call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's thepowermall.com or 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com. or text Power Hour to 228-28. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. I am just enjoying talking to Stephanie Seneff here about not only glyphosate and the dangers there, but we're going to get into the COVID vaccine, which we've been put on notice. We're not allowed to question. We're not allowed to be concerned. Just do as you're told. I also have to tell you how fascinating it is that things work together so well. At the Power Hour Mall, which, by the way, is closed today, but you can order online, you hear about good bacteria in the gut, and that's just what we were talking about. And I know, Stephanie, you were hearing that this is something that people can do proactively to take care of their health, right?
That's right, especially eating sauerkraut and apple cider vinegar, sort of using probiotic foods as a way to replenish your gut microbiome.
Exactly. So, along with her book, Toxic Legacy, How the Weed Killer Glyphosate is Destroying Our Health and Environment, Stephanie also wrote a paper with Greg Nye called Worse Than Disease, reviewing some possible unintended consequences of the mRNA vaccines against COVID-19. The only thing I wonder is it unintended or is it intended? But we'll get into all of that. So you've been concerned about this vaccine, Stephanie. Tell us why.
I'm very concerned, and I just don't understand how they can just roll this out and tell us it's safe, assure us over and over that it's safe, when we see all this, all the people have friends who are being hit hard by this vaccine, and we see huge numbers of reports in the vaccine adverse event reporting system that the FDA maintains. They're completely overwhelmed with the reports that are coming in of adverse reactions, and you see stuff all over Facebook, and there's censor. I mean, they keep taking things down that are interviews with people who have professional background that is impeccable, you know, like Bob Malone. I think, I don't know if you know Bob Malone, but he's a fantastic spokesperson raising alarms about these mRNA vaccines, and he is basically the inventor of the mRNA technology.
Oh, yes.
And
they took him down. I didn't know him by name, but yeah, the actual
it's
guy.
It's incredible.
Invented it. It's like Einstein, who was warning about nuclear weapons, and he discovered the atom that created it. And so it's like people saying, well, don't listen to Einstein. He doesn't know what he's talking about, right?
It's shocking, you know, that an expert that's, I mean, they try to attack me because I'm not an expert in virology. I have a huge amount of science background, and I've read enormous numbers of papers. They like to discredit me despite that, but he is impeccable. They can't discredit him. You know, he wrote the papers about that. Yes, and then he speaks out against it, and they say, well, no, you can't hear that. It's unbelievable, the censorship that's going on. It just, I find it shocking. And then, of course, also, I was so, I have been shocked every bit of the way. Back when I first saw that they were trying to develop this, I was like, well, that's ridiculous. They're never going to get there. You know, how can they possibly imagine they're going to get this vaccine ready in, within 5 years? It's going to be a long time before this is ready for prime time. Because I could see how new the technology was and how unusual it is and how untested. And I was just so stunned when all of a sudden in December, okay, guys, it's ready. Let's all line up and get this. And then I was stunned again when they said, oh, yeah, no problem, 12 years old. Go ahead, get this vaccine. I mean, it's so crazy because 12-year-olds have no fear. They should not have any fear of COVID-19. They don't get sick.
None,
I mean, they
whatsoever.
Get sick.
Have you heard that now they want to give it to kids under 12, under 10,
I'm terrified
under
of that.
8?
I saw I mean, I saw something that said, oh, maybe by September or October, we're going to have this vaccine for the kids. I am just beside myself with anger at what's happening, actually. I just don't understand how they can be so crazy, so you know, just being reckless, really, incredibly reckless, I believe. And I say that with confidence because, you know, Greg Nye and I, we wrote an over 40-page paper. It's a long paper. It's got a lot of references. And we were just really stunned by what we found. In the research literature, even going back years, you can find the material that shows you, you can predict how dangerous these vaccines are going to be by the evidence that's already there in the research literature. You know, we need to have time pass before we see whether these things actually come to be. But,
well, absolutely.
But the,
I mean, look at the R1N1, was it? A 60 Minutes thing in which people had horrible long-term effects.
It was narcolepsy, actually, in Europe.
Yeah, let's take a quick pause and tell people, if there are science-inclined people out there who would like to read your paper, where can they find it? Can they find it online?
Yes, I guess if they can remember NIGH, Nye, Greg Nye, and he's a naturopath.
Right.
And Senef, that's not so easy to remember, but Nye and Senef, they can write those down and do a search. I think Nye, Senef, and then Worse Than the Disease. I think if they type that in, they'll find the paper. It's a peer-reviewed paper on the web.
And Senef is spelled S-E-N-E-F-F. Let's go back now and tell us, everybody's heard, people who listen to alternative media and other media, they've heard the term mRNA. What is it?
Right.
Why is it not a vaccine?
Right. No, it's amazing technology, actually. It's quite terrifying, in my opinion. And, of course, they have many other uses in mind. I think that's been a really big hurdle to get over to get the population to embrace this vaccine. And this is their big opportunity to do that by instilling fear and getting everybody to line up. I think that's a real breakthrough for them. And they're probably thrilled because they've got many possible applications waiting in the wings. You know, it's just so difficult to get it past the approval process. This
like
is a trick
what?
To do that.
What are the kind of applications?
Oh, other applications. I think they're going to be able to apply it to gene editing, to fix, you know, genetic mutations, for cancer, for autoimmune disease. I mean, they have, the sky is the limit, really, because it is a very, very powerful technology. What they're doing, they can just pick a protein, make the gene for it, stick it into these little pellets. You know, these are like nanoparticles. And then they rig those nanoparticles in a certain way to be able to trick the cell to take it up. And then they've got it all ready to go so that it opens up that RNA. And then the RNA is all set up, ready to go to make protein. So it's like a protein-making factory that they've created inside these nanoparticles. And they've had to get over a lot of hurdles to make it work because normally if you just injected messenger RNA into your body, it would immediately disintegrate. We have enzymes all over the place that are going to break it down. So it wouldn't stick. It wouldn't work. So they had to figure out how to manipulate the message RNA itself to make it sturdy. And so they had some tricks they played. One of them was to take, it's four nucleotides that are strung together in a certain code. That's what the molecule is. And they took one of those nucleotides and they replaced every one of them with a modified version of it. It's like epigenetics. So they made this other molecule that's not the same as the normal one. Because they knew that if they did that, it would be harder to break it down. And then they stuck in all this polyethylene glycol. They mixed it up with polyethylene glycol, again, because that's going to keep it away from those enzymes that are going to break it down. And then they stuck this cationic lipid coat around it. They had these very specific cationic lipids that they had figured out they're not normal. They're not even, they're even synthetic and not natural lipids. These are like fats. They're cationic, which means they're positively charged. The body hates cationic lipids. It's an extreme, the immune cells go crazy when they see that. In fact, it messes up the membrane of the cell. So the cell gets really panicked. It's, oh my God, what is this stuff? It calls in the, you know, the Marines to come in and fix the problem. All the immune cells come into the muscle after it gets injected with this mess. The muscle cells are like, holy shit, what's happening here, you know? And they're calling in immune response. Immune cells come in and they take it up too because they don't know how not to take it up. It's designed to look like little LDL particles, you know, which is something that we, that our cells know how to take up. So it ends up, the cells can't help themselves from taking this stuff up, opening it up, getting busy making protein off of that RNA code. And the protein they're making is the spike protein, which is extremely toxic. So these cells are busy making all this toxic spike protein. They can't stop themselves. And they're getting really panicked, and the immune system is going on fire because of it. And then, of course, that causes this whole immune response that ends up producing antibodies to the spike protein, because that's the goal. That's, you know, they're very centered on the idea of making antibodies to the spike protein, you know, as the goal. And they're phenomenally successful.
Why do they want to make antibodies? To spike protein.
Because the antibodies will be there to fight off the virus if should you get infected. I mean, they're sound in what they're trying to do, in the sense, if what you want to do is to be able to trap the virus efficiently, those antibodies will help you do that. And that's the point of the vaccine.
Stephanie,
at some level, it works.
When you here's the thing. I wonder. I hope I can formulate this question, because this is heavy-duty stuff, and it is such a pleasure to talk to you who have so much knowledge. That's why we're taking the time with this, and we're not going to just be, you know, willy-nilly, and we're taking the time to discuss it. But in light of the fact of what I talk about often, and which it looks like you have some agreement, that we have people with really, really, for the lack of a better term, evil intent, who the people who have lied and lied and lied and who have tried to force this upon us have the least credibility of anyone, and yet they continually want to coerce and force people. They have no qualms about trying to isolate, marginalize people who refuse to take the vaccine. And you said they have a good, you know, that here's what they want to do. It would be remiss of me not to ask a bottom line question. Do these people want to save life, or do they want to destroy life?
No, that's a good question. I hate to feel that they're that evil. I mean, I don't understand how they can be so confident that this vaccine is not going to cause serious harm.
Well, but
and,
they're ignoring.
That puzzles me.
Yeah, forgive me, but I mean, just to zero in, they're ignoring any evidence to the contrary that says that it's dangerous. They don't want people to know it's dangerous, so obviously they must want people to keep taking it despite that. So then the question is, why? Yes, it's hard for people to.
Well, I think the reason is money.
Their brain
I mean,
it.
If they can get this technology to be accepted by the population, as I said, they've got lots and lots of drugs that they're planning on rolling out. This is the beginning of a new era. You know, they're sort of striking out on their old strategies of building these synthetic molecules. You know, all these synthetic drugs that you take to treat, you know, like the statin drugs and the Nexium and the drugs to treat cycle depression and everything. All those drugs are not natural. They're patentable, unnatural molecules. And they're really striking out as far as finding new ones that are going to make money. So they're kind of desperate right now. And they think this technology is going to enable a new era in medicine that's going to open up opportunities for all kinds of expensive drugs that they can roll out to treat, you know, all these different autoimmune diseases and cancer and genetic diseases even. They're like so excited about this technology. And so their idea is, if we can get people to accept it through this fear-mongering for this virus, then we're home free. Because now the EPA is going to say, and the FDA is going to say, you know, oh, good, this is fine. We saw that it worked for COVID. I mean, I'm hoping that it will be so obvious that it doesn't work in the long run that they won't be able to get by with this. But this is their goal, is to get past, I think their main goal is to get past that hurdle. Now, whether there is an agenda of, you know, depopulation, I know a lot of people talk about that.
A lot of people do talk about that. That's kind of, you're what?
I'm agnostic on that, but I do think I think there is this problem that if it does cause a lot of, which I believe it will, autoimmune disease, neurodegenerative disease, blood disorders, hemorrhaging and blood clots, I think it's going to cause all of those things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If that's true, well, that's just more money for the drug industry, because they're happy to see us sick. I mean, that's the other side of the coin. They don't mind if the vaccine messes us up, because then they'll just make more money. And if the vaccine gets passed, if the FDA is willing to approve further versions of it that claim to do other things, then they can make more money. So I think it's really about making money.
Well, let's slow down a little bit, because, again, we do have time to kind of examine this and look at it. Because a lot of people are hearing that they want to depopulate the planet and all of that. And while I understand, you say that you're agnostic about it, and I have not, I think that we all need to be open to new information, and I haven't made any decisions about that either, because I don't have enough information. What I do see that concerns me greatly, and I want to get your comment, is the fact that if you superimpose all of this that you have researched, and glyphosate and these other things that are clearly deadly is a part of that, you superimpose that on the evil intent that we're seeing politically among people who have no qualms about keeping us vulnerable, taking away our rights to defend ourselves, opening up the southern border. It is not a conspiracy theory to talk about the fact that the people that are pushing this the hardest and believe so adamantly in masks and vaccines for a virus that's 99.86% non-lethal are also the people who are allowing MS-13 gang members and other people completely unvetted and being moved into cities around the country. These are the environmentalists who think it's okay to poop on the street and live in tents in big cities. So we're living in insanity if you give these tools to people who are already showing that they're a little insane to begin with, like one of our callers mentioned, then it's not that hard to think that they do have evil intent when they're forcing something that's dangerous upon us. Forgive my verbosity, but I want to make that link, because it's not, under the current circumstances, all that hard to believe, is it?
Yeah, well, I just like to avoid the use of the word evil. Maybe it is evil to want money, but I mean, I think it's really about money. I think it's just that, and I've seen that in medicine. I mean, it really frustrates me that they don't, the government's not telling us to eat a certified organic diet. If we did that, the medical costs would go way down, I'm convinced. Just to get rid of glyphosate alone would reduce our medical costs enormously. If we got rid of the vaccines, especially these vaccines, I mean, these vaccines are going to make people, I think, we don't know for sure, but I'm predicting it's going to make people very sick. Lupus and multiple sclerosis and Alzheimer's,
right,
and Parkinson's disease,
right,
all those things are going to go up. This is what I predict in the future, and they probably won't connect it to the vaccines, because they always say, oh, the vaccine didn't cause it. A person dies two hours after the vaccine. Oh, well, they would have died anyway.
You know,
it's amazing how much they can say, oh, yeah, with all those deaths. There was that paper that showed that that the vaccines are probably causing as many deaths as they're preventing. I don't know if you knew about that paper, but there was a paper. I was really excited about it, and I referenced it. I wrote a paragraph in something, a document I was preparing. And then, of course, they managed to get that paper retracted, and they got it retracted on the grounds that, well, there was a death, there was a vaccine in the vaccine adverse event reporting system, but we don't know that the vaccine actually caused that death, and so therefore this paper is discredited. And the fact is that the number of vaccines that are actually reported in VARS is far, far less than the injuries that are reported is far,
right,
far less than the number of injuries that are actually happening.
And this is the same people. This is the same people who attribute coronavirus to motorcycle accidents. And if you die with pneumonia, pneumonia, then it is a COVID-related death. So, you know what they say, garbage in, garbage out. If you're starting with bad information to begin with, it's understandable you're going to get it. Just for the record, Stephanie, but then we can move on. I just want you to know, and I don't know either. Nobody knows what the motive is for a lot of this, the ultimate grand motive, what have you. But I think money is a means to an end for some of these people. That,
I think so.
I don't just think it's money. If it were only money, it wouldn't be as terrible. But communism, socialism, authoritarianism, in my opinion, is the motive because and money
is
part of what can take you there, but it isn't just so-called greed. It's greed for power. That's what
power
worries
me. Power is definitely
a
part
me.
Of it. Yes, power play and wanting to control the population, getting the population to be extremely subservient, preventing them from organizing.
Correct.
You know, you can't meet. So there's lots of reasons why someone who wants to be a dictator type of, you know, have a very controlled environment, a controlled population, would find it very would be very happy to do this, to instill this fear, to get people to line up.
Unfortunately,
yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
And the dots, you know, the dots that now the, what was considered a conspiracy theory that the virus, we can't say that it originated in a lab. In a communist country that hates America and wants to come out on top, wants to control and subjugate free people on the other side of the globe, that somehow now it's not so much a conspiracy theory. It's as
that
if you're
not allowed.
That is a good
one because there's all these, there's all these things that are called conspiracy theories about that virus and about the vaccine. And, you know, to see that one crumble is really satisfying because it starts to, hopefully, those people who say, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. Many people buy that argument. Okay, I won't listen to them because that's a conspiracy theory. That's such a great term to turn you off to an idea, you know,
it's
make people not think,
just like,
right?
Just like racist, racist. If you identify something as racist today, you can ban it. That's the point of calling it racist. Mm-hmm. Whatever you call racist, now they're calling highways racist, Stephanie. I know we're branching out on purpose because we're wrapping this up, and it's been such a tremendous, wonderful conversation. But, you know, if you want to control and manipulate people, all you got to do is say, take this or you'll die, and don't do that because it's racist, and you are starting to create an authoritarian, totalitarian regime. Is it any wonder that communist China is where they were experimenting on a bioweapon like this? Why is it that people, when they see it in front of their noses, they say, oh, well, they wouldn't do that? Why wouldn't
I know
they?
it's quite interesting, really, the state of the world right now with the degree of polarization and so many topics that we should be discussing at great length and really thinking about hard are taboo in conversation because people don't dare bring it up for fear
that's
someone's
why
on the other side
to?
And they're going
to
lose their friendship. I mean, it's just amazing how polarized we are right now.
Exactly.
It's very sad
and,
because you can't have rational conversation about
tactic.
A topic.
Be polarized. Everything that's being done right now is to polarize us. And I may say it's one of the reasons why I'm so proud and honored and privileged to be a part of talk radio, to exercise our First Amendment rights, and to question these things. We don't know all the answers, but the people who proclaim themselves as having all the answers, those are the people you should question first. Because even scientists like yourself know they don't know everything, and you exhibited that today. Well, you're not sure. It's not science to decide that something is settled and you're not to ask questions about it anymore. We have to get going here. And it sounds like you do too. Everybody, where can people get your book, Toxic Legacy, How the Weed Killer Glyphosate is Destroying Our Health and the Environment?
Yes, it's available on Amazon and it's available on several different major booksellers, you know, UK and US. And So yeah, it's pretty much, you know, lots of booksellers are selling it. it's Chelsea Green is the publisher. And I think you can buy it from their website as well. Chelsea Green.
That's right. If they don't want to do Amazon, right? If you don't want to do Amazon.
Well, they do have it available on Amazon as well. I know a lot of people don't like to buy it from Amazon, and with good reason,
right.
But.
Yeah. And also your paper, which I know people are going to be interested in.
Yes.
Greg Nye and Stephanie Seneff.
Yes.
Worse than the Disease.
Right. And why don't you read the whole title? If they want to jot something down, they can find it easier. Worse than the Disease. Do you remember the rest of it?
I have it here, but you're right. All they have to do is Worse than the Disease. But
yeah, I think they'll find it with just that.
Reviewing some possible unintended consequences of the mRNA vaccines against COVID-19. And we talked at great length about whether these consequences are intended or unintended. And, of course, we don't know yet. But it's okay to ask. I think that's the point. It's okay to ask.
Right. I just want to dig into the science and figure it out. What do I think these are going to do? I mean, if I could confirm to myself that they're safe, then fine, you know, but I can't. And I'm not getting that vaccine.
And a lot of people, as soon as you say vaccine, they think Jonas Salk, you know, and not all vaccines are Jonas Salk. Anyway, we have to let you go. Thank you so much, Stephanie Seneff, that's spelled S-E-N-E-F-F, for your graciousness and your time. Good luck with the book, and we look forward to it being a great success. Take care.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. So that about does it for our show, Power Hour. I'm Karen Cataline. Thanks to Todd and to Catherine. To everybody at the Power Hour, always a pleasure to sit in whenever I'm asked. And go to KarenCataline.com, read my stuff, and if you disagree, I love hearing from you. Even if you do agree, it's okay. Thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Take care and celebrate Independence Day every day.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from living streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.